It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A great deal of progress has been made in the last three decades in the fight against HIV/AIDS. But in a speech at the White House yesterday, President Obama reminded America that there is still a long way to go in that fight. The president pointed out that 1 in 8 people with HIV still go undiagnosed, and only 3 in 10 people with HIV have suppressed the virus in their system. Here's what the president had to say.
It's far from finished. 1 in 8 people with HIV still go undiagnosed. Only 3 in 10 people with HIV have suppressed the virus in their system, lowering it to an undetectable level. And this disease still affects different ages, races, sexual orientations, and even different regions of the country in disproportionate ways.
And so the White House has released a national HIV/AIDS strategy updated to 2020. But what does it mean for the future of HIV/AIDS research and treatment? I'm joined now in studio by Dr. Charles Kristen, Executive Director of the Pittsburgh AIDS Task Force. Dr. Kristen, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. What do you think of the president's remarks and the White House policy going forward on HIV/AIDS? Does it do enough? 412-246-2002. Dr. Kristen, you may remember when the AIDS crisis began during the Reagan administration, what the White House policy was or wasn't. Would you say that the Obama administration, going back to 2010, has created a rather sharp contrast in approaches to this, albeit 3 decades later?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the great things about what the Obama administration has done back in 2010 was to devise a national HIV strategy, which was the first one we had, in which the administration brought together researchers, people living with HIV, people who work in agencies that serve people living with HIV. So there was a pretty comprehensive approach to looking at the science and what works, what doesn't work, where do we need to go, and came up with a fairly comprehensive plan. And this 2020 plan is now updating that 2010 plan to even clarify the strategies.
That having been said, what does this mean for the future of HIV/AIDS research, particularly for this region of the country and the Pittsburgh area?
Well, certainly research is going to continue to focus on a couple of things. PrEP is now something that is in our world. It's now a treatment that can be offered to people who are HIV negative, which will use the same viral suppression medications, HIV medication basically, Truvada, which was approved by the FDA last year, as a way to fight HIV, prevent HIV and entering the system. So research is going to continue to focus on how efficacious is this, how often do we have to take PrEP? When do we take PrEP? How safe is it? So we'll continue to look at it, although the research to date and why it was approved is that we know that it is fairly safe and it does work fairly well.
So what you just described, a vaccine?
PrEP is not a vaccine. PrEP is an oral tablet right now. Vaccines are our next great hope. There's all kinds of things that are coming down the pipe. I think there's more hope in research today than there was 5-6 years ago for a vaccine that can actually work. I think the kind of vaccine that researchers are looking at is not the kind of vaccine that, you know, in the 60s or 70s, you came and you got a shot. Now it would be an oral pill.
And who would be advised to take that?
Well, I think everybody would be advised to take it as a vaccine, much the same as we're advised today. But certainly individuals who would be perceived as more at high risk for the transmission of HIV.
And as you know, we're living in a climate where there is some percentage of the population, and some would say that they are folks who are ill-advised, but there's this resistance to vaccines.
Right.
So how do you imagine the react? You know, once a vaccine were developed for HIV/AIDS, what do you imagine the reaction from certain segments of the population might be?
I could imagine all kinds of reactions. I mean, today we still have a huge barrier to HIV treatment and the suppression of HIV to rare infections, and that barrier is stigma. I think HIV is still associated with, you know, sex workers, people who are having promiscuous sex, and that kind of image. So I think the stigma of HIV is that somehow HIV is this dirty disease. When, as your remarks at the opening of this program was that, well, from the president's remarks, was that it really affects all levels of the population and every ethnicity and race in our country.
You know, we're looking at a policy that has been articulated by this president, President Obama, from the White House, and it's an update on what he began 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're looking at a policy that is that could conceivably go a long way in helping in the fight against HIV/AIDS. Conversely, what happened 30 years ago during the Reagan administration, when the HIV/AIDS crisis began in earnest in America, there was little, if any, action taken at that time.
Yes.
And so in contrast to a policy of being proactive, how much was the inactivity? How much did that inactivity go toward creating and perhaps exacerbating the problem that we're still dealing with? The fact that we got a really slow start out of the blocks on this.
Well, you know, a slow start means that you had a lot of people with HIV who were basically unknown, that they didn't know their status. And so they're walking around, they're having sex, they're having high-risk behavior without protection, and they have a high viral load, meaning they have a high amount of virus in their bodies. So the ability for that those individuals to transmit the virus to other folks was very high. What we've learned over the years, and I think this is the most hopeful aspect that we have today, and from a public health perspective, is that we have a very simple, cheap test that can allow a person to know their HIV status. And when they know their HIV status, again, good public health is, if you have a test, you have to be able to treat the person. Well, we have medications that basically work. They will take the amount of virus in that person's body and suppress it, meaning they'll bring the amount of that virus in a person's body down to a very low level. And once that person is at those kinds of low levels, we call that undetectable, their chance of transmitting that virus to another person is so much lower. So having inaction in the beginning really meant that a lot of people became infected. And without medications to treat that, you know, and without a high-level response with dollars towards research, we didn't have the medications that came out soon enough to really battle this. So, but there has been a response over the years. Research has done a lot. The pharmaceutical companies have certainly stepped up. We have good pharmaceuticals for the treatment of the virus now, which is, again, it's our greatest hope. The CDC has changed their guidelines, which, again, is just wonderful that we get past the stigma where a physician or a health practitioner says to an individual, well, you know, what's your risk for contracting HIV? Well, it doesn't sound like you're at risk. We don't really need to test you. That's what the past dictated. Today, the CDC has recommended that it's routine healthcare that everyone should get an HIV test. It's simple. It's fairly non-invasive. It's a swab of saliva in the mouth. There's no reason for somebody not to get that test. And therefore, everybody knows their status. If you don't know your status, you don't know. So you should know your status. And if you are HIV positive, the hope then is that there's treatment, and there's good treatment with the Affordable Care Act, There's insurance now that people can access the treatment that they need. And with Ryan White, for many years, individuals with HIV have been able to access free care and free medications.
Ryan White, of course, being the young man who contracted AIDS and tragically died from that at the age, I think he was 10?
Is it? Yes.
Now, you mentioned the Affordable Care Act, and one of the things I was going to ask you was how the Affordable Care Act is impacting the fight against AIDS. Sounds like you're saying that it is, in fact, helping.
It is, in fact, helping. So many more individuals are able to now receive insurance that allows them to purchase medications and purchase health care at a less expensive price. But there are things happening that have to be corrected. There isn't a mandate that says that insurance companies have to keep the price of HIV medications at a reasonable cost for individuals who are HIV positive. So currently in many places, and Pennsylvania is one of them, is the price of HIV medications for individuals who have insurance is very costly. So it leaves people to really want to rely on what we have, what's in many states is called the drug assistance programs that is federally funded. Here it's called the Special Pharmaceutical Benefits Program, which allows individuals earning up to about $50,000 a year to receive medications for HIV as well as those medications that help people live with HIV at no cost or very low cost for them.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about the announcement of the White House yesterday releasing a national HIV-AIDS strategy. You might have seen on television or gone online and heard the president's remarks about how that strategy has been updated to 2020. And we're talking about what it means for the future of HIV-AIDS research. If you have a comment or a question for our guest, Dr. Charles Kristen, who is executive director of the Pittsburgh AIDS Task Force, you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. What do you think of the president's remarks and the White House policy going forward on HIV/AIDS? Does it do enough? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And I'm interested in how long it takes today in 2015 to get the results of an HIV test. I remember having been tested as part of being a part of a professional sports team 20 years ago. This was all men. We were all screened for it. And I think it took like a week to 10 days to get the results back, which was, you know, the longest week of your life as you are awaiting these results. Is it any shorter today?
It's shorter in this respect, that we have a rapid HIV test that is a screen. Doesn't confirm that you're diagnosed with HIV, but it does screen up to 97% accuracy that you could have the HIV virus. So a rapid HIV test, again, could be a swab or it could be a blood test, a finger prick. And in 20 minutes, we would be able to see whether antibodies are present for HIV in a person's body. At that point, another oral swab would be done, and that would be sent to a lab where the two basic confirmatory tests would be done to confirm that that person definitely does have antibodies for the HIV virus.
And we were talking earlier about, you know, how things were 30 years ago. And of course, at the outset, it was thought to be it was a disease that erroneously was associated with the gay community.
Right.
That for some odd reason, people thought that, there's a low or almost no chance that a heterosexual can get AIDS, which, of course, turned out tragically to be untrue. But there was a stigma because of those early mistaken beliefs. Does that persist today? And if so, how do you overcome it?
Of course it persists today. And I think, again, the way that we overcome that is when we stop looking at HIV as a disease that is just connected to sex or disease that's connected to intravenous drug use. That HIV is transmitted predominantly in those ways, but when we move past trying to figure out what a person's sexual behavior or recreational behavior is, and we say, you know, this is an epidemic, this is a public health crisis in our lives, and it's been around for way too long. It's a simple test. Everybody needs to do it. When we start realizing that and moving in that direction, which the CDC and this national strategy is doing, I think we begin to eliminate that stigma and realize that whether you're gay or straight, you're vulnerable to HIV. It's what we do that makes the difference.
Do we have a complacent attitude today? Has the AIDS crisis slipped from the collective mainstream public consciousness in America because more people are living with it, living productive lives? And does that lead to, you know, the complacent attitude that prevents people or creates a lack of people being diagnosed, which I would assume has to do with them not being screened?
Right. I believe that is true. We see, especially in this region, that young people are infected the most with new infections. And to follow what you said, what we believe is that young people don't see anymore individuals with HIV. They don't see people with HIV like they were in the past, who are very sick and had a particular look to them. There's not a lot of talk. You don't see young people who are HIV positive coming on television and saying, don't do this, or, you know, do this, you know, get tested, things like that. So, you know, when we have that sort of lack of visibility, and we know that for the most part, young people just developmentally in teen years kind of feel invulnerable anyway. You know, like, it's not going to happen to me. I could do anything. And we know that there are young people who have even been tested for the virus and know that they're HIV positive, but don't seek treatment. And there could be a number of reasons for that. It could be access to care. Either they don't know that they can obtain free treatment even if they don't have insurance, or it's just, I'm not sick, I don't feel any different, so I'll worry about it when I get sick. Hmm. Of course, at that point, it's really too late.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that people may not be as careful as they were being,
right,
say 20 or even 15 years ago.
Right.
What more can be done to increase access to care? You know, President Obama was talking about that. That's what needs to happen. You've outlined that here. Mm-hmm. So what more needs to be done, not only to increase access to care, but also improve the health outcomes for people living with HIV, as President Obama says he wants to do?
Right. And again, I think eliminating barriers is very important. We have a Loss to Care program that engages people that either haven't been tested or have been tested and now are HIV positive, or know they're positive, went into treatment, but then fall out of it. So there are many barriers that people can have. Housing is a big issue. Individuals who lack stable housing find it very difficult to adhere to a medication regimen. Transportation is another barrier for people. Oftentimes people don't or can't afford, or if they're living in rural areas, to be able to get from those rural areas into Pittsburgh, where the major clinics are for treatment, and get that treatment. Sometimes it's a matter of ignorance, just not knowing. So the education still has to be out there. I mean, we don't have it routinely in schools that people talk about HIV and understand what they need to do to be tested and how to be tested, and then if they are positive, what resources are there for them.
Do you think that we'll see a cure or the vaccine, as you mentioned, for HIV/AIDS within the next 10 years, 20 years?
I think it's very hopeful. There are clinical trials that are moving into human testing phases, which is very hopeful. You know, to get to that point, there has to be shown some efficacy in animal studies. So, and that usually takes a long time. So I think we're moving closer to a vaccine than we ever have. And certainly the midpoint of that everybody is talking about is PrEP. Again, having more and more people understand and more clinicians, people, medical providers, being able to educate their patients or people that come to them and say, well, what about this Truvada? Can you prescribe that to this to me? How often do I need to take it? What's it going to do to me? What are the side effects? Those kinds of questions need to be answered by the healthcare providers many times. But we have two clinics now in Pittsburgh, PAC Clinic at UPMC and Positive Health Clinic at Allegheny General Hospital. Both are PrEP clinics where individuals, regardless of their insurance or ability to pay, can go there and talk with somebody about PrEP, have their questions answered, and have prescriptions provided.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we've been talking about the remarks made by President Obama yesterday from the White House, releasing a national HIV/AIDS strategy updated to 2020 and what that strategy means for the future of HIV/AIDS research and treatment. Our guest has been Dr. Charles Kristen. He's executive director of the Pittsburgh AIDS Task Force. Dr. Kristen, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh today.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
Coming up, we will have the case against the owners of the copyright to the Happy Birthday song. And next, what does the price of natural gas, as that price continues to slide, mean for us in the Pittsburgh region? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.